Praise the Lord. Let us, I'd like to open a prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Want to thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to break the bread of life. Father, we are praying that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts. And Father, that you would move to speak to each and every one of us concerning this so great a salvation that you have given unto us, that we might know for that which we have been apprehended, that we might have the strength to apprehend it. So, Father, we just present ourselves to you today. We submit our minds, we submit our emotions, we submit our desires. Let them be all those things that are of you and not of ourselves. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Very happy to be with you again this morning. I kind of want to pick up where I left off last night. Praise the Lord. We were talking about salvation and the fact of what it means to be born again. I'm really not going to go back over that this afternoon. I just kind of want to continue on. But we were reading the verse in Hosea. Maybe we should go back and look at that for just a minute and then refresh our minds. It was Hosea, right? Hosea. And it was in the what chapter?
Chapter
4. Yes, well, you know, it's very apropos because 4 is the number of tribulation and 6 is the number of man. So I was talking about tribulation in man. And what it says is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I shall also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Praise the Lord. There is a necessity for us to know God. There is a necessity for us to understand the reason for which God has created us, because it's very important to the fact of where we are and what it is that is happening to us. But this morning I want to go over into Proverbs, and I want to read out of Proverbs the 29th chapter. And I was looking for this verse last night and couldn't find it because I needed to use it this morning, I guess. For Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and I want to read the 18th verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Praise the Lord. If we understand what it means to be born again, then our, what it is that happens when we become born again, then we can begin to comprehend the purpose of God for our lives. You know, so much time is spent in many of these Christian circles of trying to determine what is my purpose, what is my place. To put it in into the ecclesiastical vernacular, what is my ministry? Hallelujah. Everybody seems to be looking for their spot. Everybody seems to be looking for their slot. That specific thing that God has given them to do in the aspect of their salvation and in the environment in which they are living. But we are focusing on the wrong thing. It is not a matter about us or the fact of ministry that God might give to us. It is the fact of what it is that God wants to accomplish with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when God created Adam in the beginning, when he made man in the beginning, Adam was not a complete work of God. The fact of the matter is, Adam was only really the beginning to demonstrate or to show us the reality of what it was that God wanted. I used the illustration last night of a builder and a blueprint. Now, I don't know how they do it here, but in the States, when they make up a plan for a house, they don't just give you the construction, they don't give you just the construction details. But the architect, in order to sell the plan or to sell the drawing, will do the drawing in its totality. He will show you as a finished product, not the inside necessarily, but the outside. Well, I think they're now doing it also in the inside with computers. But when I started building, they didn't have any of that. So, but they will show you the detail of the house. They will put the landscaping around it. They will show you different views of it in order to whet your appetite, in order to get you interested in it, in order to tell you, well, this is what I want. Praise the Lord. Well, it is a similar situation with Adam and Eve in the beginning. Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were not created in the entirety and in the completeness of what it was that God had intended for them. But he did enough in order to demonstrate or to show us the position or the place that man could come to. Hallelujah. Because when God made man and he created him, he formed him in the dirt, it says that he breathed into his nostrils and man became. Hallelujah. Now you have to understand, in the aspect of that, God doesn't breathe air. So it wasn't air that God is talking about, because it says God is a spirit. And they that worship God, what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Two vital things. Truth pertains to the reality of God and what, not only who and what God is, but what God wants.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when we get saved, we don't think about God and what he wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, maybe you do. But in my early stages of Christianity, it wasn't so much what God wanted, it was what I wanted. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. If I got into trouble, I'd want a solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. If I got into financial difficulties, I would want finances to get me out of it. Mm-hmm. If my body became ill or something was attacked me, I would want to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So God became a mechanism by which to alleviate my distress, whatever it may be. Praise the Lord. And God in his long suffering, God in his caring and loving, and in the hope that in the aspect of his administration to us, we would come to a point of wanting something other than God than what it is that he can give us.
Amen.
In the aspect of our environment. And it goes also for ministry. You understand? We all want some sort of ministry. We all want some sort of place of preeminence. We all want some place of where the spotlight is upon us. Hallelujah. And we want it without the due process of development. Hallelujah. But God wanted us to know. God wanted us to see what it was he had in his mind in the beginning. Now, just because things didn't seemingly go right, and things begin to come apart at the seams as though it appeared, it does not negate what God did in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because if what God did in the beginning, would it not also be what God wants to bring forth in the end, only in a complete and total
reality of what it was he had in his mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you have a God that is eternal, right? No beginning, no end. But we call him Alpha. That means God has a beginning. And that means, and Omega, it means that God has an end. But it's not referring to the eternalness of God. It's referring to the purpose of what was in God's mind when he created time. Hallelujah. God created time for one reason. God created time to develop the nature of God in man. Hallelujah. Because it says in verse 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, God didn't write the Bible. Somebody was talking about it or mentioning it, and there was a little bit of conversation concerning it earlier on. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. But God didn't write the Bible with a pen and with ink. He took humanity in his hand as a stylist. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. And with that man, he began to write the aspect of his character and his nature, and to demonstrate the reality of that man's living and suffering and dying. Hallelujah. Amen. The reality of the nature of God and what it was capable of doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible is not written with ink. It is written with blood. The blood of the saints. You can go into Hebrews 11 and read that the story of hero after hero of hero of how they lived and how they died. Praise the Lord. So there is an understanding that God is now revealing to the church in the end time. Hallelujah. Because God knows what is in the mind of the devil. Hello? Hallelujah. God knows that the devil is wanting to destroy humanity. The devil has no compunction of morality. He has no compunction of sensitivity or compassion. Hallelujah. There is one thing that devil wants, and that devil wants is to destroy something that God has created. Hallelujah. If he cannot possess it, if he cannot utilize it, if he cannot bring it into subjection to his of obedience and adoration of his being, then he wants it destroyed. Hallelujah. And God has created an entity called man. Hallelujah. For the purpose of stopping the devil. Hallelujah. Not only stopping the devil, but destroy the substance of that which gives the devil his authority. Hallelujah. Because you see, the devil does not have the authority outside of the manipulation of man to promote his wickedness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil can't even exist without man. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, you talk about suicidal tendencies. If the devil destroys mankind, humankind, if he destroys humankind, he destroys himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it was man that God allowed the devil to feed off of in order for the devil to work his mischief. Amen. Hello. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it was the wisdom of God in the way that he did it. If you go into that, what is it, the third chapter or the second chapter of Genesis? I think it's in the third chapter. When Eve is tempted and she falls and she gives to Adam and he submits to the process. Praise the Lord. And the Lord came and he dealt with every factor of that equation. But what he said of the devil, he said, on thy belly shall thy go. Hallelujah. And all the days of your life That is an interesting statement, by the way. All the days of your life, and thus shalt thou eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no snake that eats dirt. I've been looking for it around the world. I've been going through different parts of Africa. Do you know any snake that eats dirt? There is no snake that eats dirt. Hallelujah. It was a spiritual metaphor speaking about the power of the devil and what he was to find his source of life from. Because he turned around to man and he says, Thus thou art unto dust shalt thou return. So the devil has a right to come and to feed off of us. Praise the Lord. Huh? Hallelujah. Seems kind of contrary, doesn't it? It's maybe even controversial. But what would the devil do if you would not allow him to feed off of you? Huh? Because when you are born again, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So the nature that is within you is no longer digestible by the devil. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Amen.
It is no longer, if he were to take a bite of it, it would give him acute indigestion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Amen.
But you know, we do not comprehend the magnitude or the position or the place of authority that God has moved us into.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And quite frankly, the devil does not want you to understand it. He does not want you to believe it. And he has invented all kinds of church doctrine to keep you from coming into the revelation of God inside of you.
Hmm.
Hallelujah. Paul put it a different way to the Galatian church. And brethren, the Galatian church is a lot like the church of today. Hallelujah. And one of the indictments that Paul brought to the Galatian church was, how is it that you believe that you can finish in the flesh what you started in the spirit? Hallelujah. It is not the mechanics of church operation. It's not the mechanic of theology. It is in the basis of relationship with a living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Coming to a reality of what Paul said, it is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In that statement, Paul eliminates every other aspect or every other way or every other means by which to fulfill the glory that God wants to give us.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is not a matter of what you do in the natural arena, although those things are necessary as God moves, as God motivates, as God speaks. But it is not the doing of them that brings the glory. The glory comes from the development of God inside of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, the hope of glory is Christ in you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This brother is that's verse back in Proverbs. It says, where no vision a vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy. I want you to turn with me over into John chapter 3, because there's an interesting verse here that correlates with the verse here in Proverbs. And it says here in John chapter 3, Jesus, this is where Nicodemus came to the Lord and was inquiring of him about the mystery of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, and verse 3 said, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There are several things about this verse that I want to highlight. One of the first thing is the ability to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It means that prior to that, we were blind. We could not see. We could not perceive. Now, when the Bible talks about seeing, that Greek word means not only to see something in a physical sense, that means to perceive the reality of what it represents.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what the Greek word means.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It means that you see a tree, and in the spiritual, the spiritual context of it, the biblical context of it, is the tree is as men of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you remember the story of the blind man? There was a blind man that God healed, that Jesus healed, but he healed him too good. Hallelujah. He healed his eyes, and then he asked the man. It was the only place in the Bible that God ever asked the man the results of the healing. Hallelujah. He says, "What do you see?" Why did he ask him that? He knew what the man was seeing because he knew what he gave the man. Hallelujah. And the man said, "I see." Now, this man had been blind. He was blind before birth, you know, and was blind from birth on up.
Yeah.
Huh? And so how did he know men and trees? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He says, "I see men as trees walking." Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Oh, yes. So God said to Jesus, "Yes, that's true." Now, he didn't say that, but he said, "Yes, that's true. Now it's time to bring you down."
Mm.
Hallelujah. So he had to pray for him again. Can you imagine a man with a sight without the ability to comprehend or to handle the magnitude of the revelation that he's seeing to go through life in that condition? Hallelujah. He said he had to bring the man down to where he saw men in the aspect of how they are in this lower realm of existence.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there was a reason why God did that. Because he wanted us to understand the position or the place of our being born again. You know, so many churches stop right there. They just stop right there. Hallelujah. But brethren, it says, unless it says that what you are given is not, it is what you are given is the ability to see. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to see. Is seeing entering?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Is seeing, receiving, and experiencing the benefit of what it is you are seeing? Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Because there is yet another step that is required. Jesus turned around and said to the man again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of
Hallelujah.
God."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, we want to make this kingdom a physical place. And I'm not saying to you there isn't a physical place. But I'm saying to you that the physical thought of a place is so far below what it is that God has made for man. Hallelujah. One of the prophets said that it has not entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In another place in the New Testament, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou hast created him," what? "A little lower than the angels, but has," what? "Exalted him to where? To be an authority over the works of all of the works of his hand. Hallelujah. You know, if you want a physical place, that's fine. You can just put your hopes on that. But my aspirations, my desire go beyond that physical level of comfort, that physical level of security. When all of that which God has created, have you ever thought about it? Look up into the stars. Hallelujah. And the magnitude of it, and the beauty of it, and the expanse of it, and the mystery of it. We have no comprehension, the totality. And it says that man has a position, man has a place of authority over all of those things. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But for man to get there, there is something that man has to participate with God in. Hallelujah. So when it says you cannot see the kingdom of God, you're not talking necessarily about a physical place. What you are talking about is an entity or a personality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God gave us Jesus that we might be able to relate to him on a lower level of association. I cannot comprehend God. I can't. I can think about it, I can imagine it, but I cannot comprehend him. Hallelujah. But I can understand and I can relate to a man that was called Jesus. He was flesh and blood. He had form such as I. He had a soul such as I. He had the aspects of his being were much in the same way of what I have in the aspect of how I have been created. Hallelujah. He had a mother. He had a father who was in lieu of God orchestrating over his life. He had brothers. He had sisters. He had a community in which he lived. I can relate to this man. Hallelujah. But this man is nothing more than a stepping stone to rise up higher into God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If I can understand the man, and I can begin to relate to the man, and I can begin to move with the man, to go get to know the man, then God begins to lift my ability of comprehension in understanding. Hello?
Amen.
Now, I'm not going outside of Scripture. Hello? You need Scripture. Hallelujah. There was one of his disciples, Philip, I believe it was. Wasn't it Philip? He came to Jesus Christ. And he said, "Show me the Father." Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus just looked at the man. I don't know whether it was incredulously or what. He just looked at the man and he said, "Philip, have I been so long with you that you do not know when you see me?" You what? You see the Father. Hallelujah. Was he talking about his physical shape? Was he talking about the color of his eyes, the color of his hair? Absolutely not. He was telling Philip to look deeper into him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was telling Philip, "Look deeper into me, Philip. Look by the Spirit of God. Look into my being and see the vastness of eternity."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it says that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, he is not talking about a physical place. He's talking about a reality of a personality that is so far beyond our ability to comprehend, but yet, in the grace and mercy of God, he is now giving us the ability to begin to perceive it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it starts as a thought. It starts as a concept. well, maybe I can see this God. Maybe I can begin to understand this God. Maybe I can begin to comprehend this God. And we begin to move forward. Hallelujah. And in our moving forward, and in our desire to see Him in a clearer way, in a clearer form, in a concept that is much more precise and concise than what it is that we have, God begins to move toward us.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says what? Draw nigh to God. You must draw nigh. If you do not draw nigh, God will not draw nigh to you. He will stand afar and look at you. Hallelujah. He will beckon to you. He will call you. He will do whatever He can to facilitate you in coming. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will do whatever He can to move in your circumstance.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. To bring you to some point of desire that you are motivated.
Amen.
But you know you have the choice. You're the one that must decide. Hallelujah. You know, when I was born again, it was in a Baptist church. And the Baptists don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not one of their doctrinal positions. In fact, they are really kind of against it. Not kind of, they are really against it. It may not be so evident here in Africa, but in the United States, it's very evident. Hallelujah. So I'm sitting in a Baptist church without the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But I am born again. And I am sensing or perceiving that there is something out there that is greater than what it is that I have. Hallelujah. So it is now God's responsibility to make it known unto me, because it says if you are born again, you will see the kingdom of God. And if I am perceiving the kingdom of God, then there is a desire that is within me to move toward that position or place of knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. So God has to begin to make an avenue. God has to begin to draw nigh to me. And so what does He do? He begins to drop these thoughts into my head through different sources, through different ways, that there is something more of God than what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I was in a lot of trouble. After I got saved, I kind of backslid and went out into the world. And I was in a lot of trouble, but in my heart, there was something crying out for God. Hallelujah. Much like the words that Paul penned in that Romans, I think it's the 7th chapter, says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Hallelujah. And so here it was. I was in this condition and in this place, and I'm looking for a relief to it. And somebody comes to me one day. Hallelujah. God sent one of His angels to me. Hallelujah. Who began to minister a message to me and begin to tell me about this thing I had never heard about before, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I had to get really desperate. When I heard it, I did not necessarily grab it and run with it. I resisted it. I was fighting it. And I was pushing it off. But God was persistent. God was coming again and again and again and knocking on my door. Till finally one day, I got so desperate. I said to God, "If you cannot deliver me, kill me." Hallelujah. And God did not kill me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when He filled me with the Holy Spirit, He gave me an authority. He gave me a greater desire. And now I was sensing God in a different way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I had a greater revelation of the magnitude of God, of the authority of God, of the desire in the heart of God that He had for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that administration to me flamed the fire in me to move yet another step to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All of this, all of the mechanics of these situations are designed to bring man to a particular goal, to a particular place, to a particular experience in God. Hallelujah. That moves him from mortality to immortality.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, brethren, I believe in immortality. I have seen it demonstrated in the natural sense. A man dead, laying hands on him and speaking a word, and the man lives.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I have seen mortality when cancer has come to devour a person's body.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God comes and delivers the man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're not just looking at healing.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking at the spirit of life and immortality moving into that individual. I remember a situation when a woman had malaria. She had come back from Kenya, and she was a member of the congregation that we were fellowshipping at the time. And she was pregnant. She was probably about 7 months, 8 months pregnant. And when we heard about her situation, she had malaria. They had moved her into the hospital. And you know, they did not know how to deal with her malaria. Praise the Lord. And she was running a fever of about 106, hallelujah, 105, 106, somewhere in there. And the doctor, when we walked in, had basically given her up for dead. Hallelujah. But when we prayed for that woman, the Spirit of God came down in that ICU unit and touched her. My God. Hallelujah. And you could see that the blood of God go through her entire being.
Amen.
And she was healed. Not only was she healed, but the baby was born with no defects.
Amen.
And that was one of the things that the doctor was wanting to do, was to try to save the baby, because he thought that the woman was gone. And he was fearing that because of the temperature and the elongation of it, they could not bring the temperature down. The elongation of it, that it would in some manner affect the baby. But that young lady now is probably 19 or 20 or 21 or 22. She's probably graduated from university by now. I don't know. Hallelujah. But God healed. That is immortality.
Amen.
That's immortality. It's not just a healing. It's the virtue of God that goes into a person's being to produce life that overcomes death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, we're talking about this agent of immortality that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born again not of natural blood, but we are born of blood that is immortal. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. We are born of blood that is immortal. The blood of Jesus Christ was an immortal blood.
Amen.
It was demonstrated on the fact of he was resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So why is it that we die? Why? Because we do not understand. We do not realize the totality of what of God it is that is in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We think that we cannot have immortality on this side of mortality. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. Even though we have seen or heard or in some measure or a manner seen that immortality overcome mortal, that agent of death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, furthermore, the Bible says, we shall not all sleep.
Amen.
You hear me? I want to be one of those, not that I know that I'm going to be one of those, but that's what I want. Hallelujah. I want to be in that company of people. It says, we shall not all sleep, but what? We shall all be changed. Changed how? Changed from mortality to immortality, from flesh to spirit. Hallelujah. 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 You know, when Jesus Christ arose from the dead, when he appeared to his disciples in that little room, he said to him, "Touch me. I am flesh and bone." It wasn't blood now. His blood had been drained out of his body. And now there was something other flowing through his veins other than blood. Hallelujah. It was the immortal spirit, the immortality of God's spirit. Totally, absolutely, completely encompassed in human flesh. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. The man went down into hell. Hallelujah. His blood went up to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God approved his blood. This is an innocent man. Hallelujah. And that decree of God went down into hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Entered into the man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when he came out of hell, he was bringing a host of brethren with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the amazing thing about that whole situation is that was not the epitome in the totality of what man, God wanted to do with man. Hello? Because it tells us in Hebrews that they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that means, sister, the heavenly host is watching you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The heavenly host is watching you. Amen. In your situation, in your tribulation, in your vexation,
Amen.
And in your confrontation with darkness. They're watching you and seeing how you're going to overcome it. And as you overcome it, they become more perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They become more whole. They become more complete. Hallelujah. Because you know something? You can't overcome without this. This is what we have to overcome. We have to overcome this flesh. We have to overcome the desires, the emotion, and the heritage that have been bequeathed to us because of our mortality and mortal birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're talking about a position, a place, And the mechanism by which God brings us to that position and that place of relationship with Him, that death is overcoming. We are overcoming death. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's another thought here in that. See, what was it? There was a thought. It'll come back. So here we are. God bringing us the steps. Now, if I had a drawing on the board, I would show you, first of all, we have the brazen altar, which is representation of that conversion, of that position of acceptance, of that place of being translated. Hallelujah. And, you know, that translation is not a one-time thing. It is a process that we are growing from dark to light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as we now are standing at the brazen altar, we have that brazen laver, which is indicative of baptism.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And John says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but there one that cometh after me, what? He shall baptize you with what? Holy Spirit and with fire." Hallelujah. I want to go back to John. This is the thought that I lost that I just got back. I want to go back to John. It is a matter of want to. How much do you want God? And how much do you want this life? It's a matter of want to. How much do you desire it? What are you willing to pay for it?
Mm.
What are you willing to pay for it? Huh? What are you willing to pay for it? Hallelujah. It's a serious question. It's a valid question because the Bible says that you do not go to war without first considering what it is that you have to do in order to win the battle. Do you know what they do when they plan battles? You know how they plan it? They plan it on the amount of casualties they're going to have. much manpower will it cost us to achieve a particular objective? So you're talking about the giving up of lives. Hello? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And the greater the resistance, and the greater the victory, it's going to cost the greater amount of lives.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So there is something of us that God is wanting us to give in exchange for what it is that we are supposed to be giving.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mavis has said to me many times, she said, Brother Bert, salvation is free. You have to pay for everything else. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to be prosperous. We want to be comfortable. We want to be secure. We want to be happy. We want to be content. We want to be in that position or that place of comfort. Oh, a little bit of suffering here and there, but not too much. Hallelujah. A little bit of pain here and there, but not too much. Hallelujah. Just give me enough to get me in. Praise God. No, it's a matter of want to. And I want to tell you something. Not everybody is going to hit the high mark. Hallelujah. Not because they couldn't, but because they wouldn't. We had an expression growing up, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but didn't. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That most covers almost every area of your life. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but didn't. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be my testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not when I have in front of me something so far beyond my comprehension. And there is a demonstration in the scripture of this principle that I am telling you. Hallelujah. It is an individual position of choice. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, two in a field. One shall be taken, the other left. Hallelujah. Now, those scriptures have always been used to verify and confirm rapture. But I suggest you go in and look at the word that is used on the taken. Hallelujah. The word is paralambano, and it means one who is arrested. Not one who is gathered to escape or to relieve their situation. It means one that is arrested for judgment. It's paralambano. It's the Greek word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One that is arrested for judgment. Not only that, it says they shall be taken. It says in the King James, where the eagles gather. But it's not eagles, it's vultures. It's something that lives off a dead carrion. Hallelujah. So, but one is left. Who is left? He that is steadfast. He that has his feet planted in God. He that is in the position and cannot be shaken. And I use the word shaken because it says in Hebrews, God says, I am going to yet once more. Hebrews 12, I believe it is. I am going to be once more. What am I going to do? Shake heaven and shake the earth, and not only the earth, but heaven also. And what happens? Huh? That which is shaken shall be removed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to be shaken, brother. I don't want to be shaken. I don't even want to wiggle a little bit. I don't want to have to sway with the circumstance. I want to stay steadfast, firm on the hope of my position of salvation. Hallelujah. So we find that there is a cost that is involved in the operation of having this deeper relationship with God. Hallelujah. I was in Ethiopia not too long ago, and I was in a little home fellowship. There was less people there than here. And we were ministering out of John. John, I love the book of John. I just love it, love it, love it. I like the other books. I love the other books too. But John, it was something very intimate about John and the Word of God. And when you read John, it is not a man that is writing something that... It's not like a man writing something that somebody is telling him. It is like a man that is seeing it. in actuality, seeing it. Hallelujah. And I was ministering one day there in Ethiopia, and all of a sudden the Spirit came down, and I went up into the vision, and I saw a campfire, and they were out in the kind of the wilderness, and I knew it to be Jesus and his 12 disciples. Now this is all happening while I'm ministering the word. I'm seeing this vision, and I'm looking, and I'm telling you, it wasn't like it was a vision. It was like I was standing. I could see the fire. I could hear it crackling. I could see it burning, and it was getting dark. Hallelujah. And they were all gathered in a semicircle around it, and Jesus was sitting over here on one side of it, and I was almost like I was standing on the perimeter of the light of the fire, looking into it. And I just wanted to jump right in there and sit down with them. Hallelujah. But as I was watching, and as time was going on, it was getting dark, and the fire was kind of burning down, and every now and then somebody would get up and throw a piece of wood on it. And all this time, Jesus is talking to them, talking. And he's sharing with them the principles and the thoughts and the intent of God and his kingdom. Hallelujah. How much would you give to be sitting in that group? But you know a strange thing. Little by little, one by one, they begin to fall asleep. And I'm sitting there looking. I said, How are you sleeping? I can't even hear. You can hear. But how are you sleeping? And they all began to sleep. And they began to fall off and to go down into sleep. And there were there was one man sitting right next to Jesus on his right side. And he had his head on Jesus' shoulder. And he was looking up into Jesus' face. Oh my goodness. And there was such a look on the man's face, you know, one I would say of rapture. The man was not there. But they all began to fall asleep until this one man was left. And I knew in the spirit that that man was John.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the last man fell asleep, Jesus' countenance changed. And the tone and the quality of his voice changed. And he had this, he began almost like to glow. And he began to talk. And when he began to talk, I knew that he was bringing John up into a higher level of understanding. Hallelujah. That he was bringing John, not just in the actuality. I believe that in some essence that he was bringing John and lifting him up in the spirit and taking him back in time. Hallelujah. Because it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. Hallelujah. In the beginning. And John talks as one who's standing there watching the revelation of creation. Hallelujah. Begin to unfold before him. Hallelujah. As this man, God, Jesus, God in a man called Jesus, was sharing with him the event of what it was that was happening with him in the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the demonstration of that word was in the tribulation of a later day when John was being persecuted and they were trying to kill the man. Hallelujah. They could not kill the man. Why? Because the immortality of word that was in him, hallelujah, was sustaining the life of the flesh and overcoming those instruments that were being used to try to bring it to naught. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The best thing they could do was to get the man out of their sight. Hallelujah. We can't get this man out of we can't kill him. Let's just get him out of our sight. Hallelujah. So we're not reminded that we can't kill him. Hallelujah. And you know, it was all in the plan of God, believe it or not. Because God wanted to give John now, not the events of the past. God wanted John to see the events of the future. Hallelujah. And he had to give John in a place where John was by himself. Hallelujah. Where John was all alone and no one would be able to see the event that was going to happen with John. Hallelujah. And when they deposited him on that island of Patmos and the boat left, God came down.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When God came down, he lifted John up into the Spirit and took him out of Patmos and unto the end of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And John began to write the revelation. Hallelujah. 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 And began to demonstrate the reality of that immortality. And began to illustrate and show John, my God, the revelation of how God was going to come forth in a company of people and to work in the midst of the land of tribulation and trouble to bring redemption to humanity and redemption to the earth that is around us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is this word. It is the reality of the word and the personality of that word that God is wanting to bring to us as individuals. Hallelujah. That we might hunger, that we might thirst, that we might be willing to give it all to him in order to obtain that which we cannot see, but that which we sense in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that by faith, Abraham left all that he was. Hallelujah. And journeyed out unto a land that he did not know. Abraham is indicative of the calling and the election that is upon us as a people. Hallelujah. God is calling us out of our father's house. He's calling us out of our kindred, our tribal association. He's calling us out of our country. Oh, God, hallelujah. But there is a need for that, for us to participate with him in the deliverance of our soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God cannot do it without your wanting him to do it and you participating with him in the doing of it. Hallelujah. And he starts out simple. He says, if a man hits you on the right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek, not religiously, but in the aspect of compassion for the man's soul, and to overcome the demon of malice that is in the man. Hallelujah. You know that it's not just an act of turning the cheek. Hallelujah. You overcome that instinct of self-preservation, that spirit of self-exaltation. When you turn that cheek and you are motivated by the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you turn that cheek and that man hits you, he knocks the devil plumb out of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you submit to the abuse, and as you submit to the position of tribulation and trouble, that devil in him is getting hit and getting hit and getting hit and getting hit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you are not only overcoming the darkness that is within you, you are overcoming the darkness that is within them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can say, when the devil comes, he finds nothing.
Okay.
He finds nothing. He finds no reaction. He finds no bitterness. He finds no resentment. He finds no spirit of revenge. He finds no aspect or substance of my humanity that would want to usurp that position of authority that is in me, that is called God. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, the church has gone off from God. They have gone off from God. If God was to walk into their building, they would not recognize him as God. Hallelujah. They are so wrapped up in their theology. They're so wrapped up in their preeminence. They're so wrapped up in their religiosity. Hallelujah. Of scripture and theology that they do not know the personality that they call God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why the church is going to persecute you if you desire to move on into God. Hallelujah. It was the church that persecuted Jesus Christ. It was the church that crucified Jesus Christ. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh no, my denomination wouldn't do that. Your denomination is so divided from the concept of holiness.
Mm.
Hallelujah. That it would no longer recognize holiness. Mm. Hallelujah.
Mm.
What the church does now is what the world does. The entertainment and all of the gimmicks and things that they do to motivate people to come, to give. The more people they have, the greater the offering. The bigger the building, the bigger the car, the better the house, the better the clothes. Come on, brethren. I've been in church a long time. I've seen the results of it. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are coming to a situation or to a circumstance that is beyond theology. God wants to bring us beyond theology. Did you hear me?
Yes.
He wants us to bring us beyond religiosity. Hello? Praise God. And when we start our journey at that brazen labor, as we begin to submit to the process of death to self. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said that a corn of wheat, what? Must fall into the ground and do what?
Die.
If it don't die,
mm-hmm.
it abideth alone.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So we have to understand the reality of our calling and election. We have to understand the reality of our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We have to understand the mechanics that have to be set in place. And the things that we have to do in order for us to be able to be worthy to obtain them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is wanting to excite your appetites. God is wanting to bring you to a position or a place that you might be able to understand the value of your salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not just to get you into heaven.
Mm.
It's not just to give you what it is that you need in the time of distress and trouble.
Mm.
But it's to bring you up higher into a higher position or place of relationship and to a greater reality of a living God.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.